We read this morning from the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it those of old received divine approval. By faith we understand that the world was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith, and by faith we are saved, which is a gift, and by faith we come to believe what we can't prove, and maybe believe what we can't prove more fervently than what we can. I started thinking about faith as a concept again, and maybe even as a potential sermon topic, just about exactly a week ago, because the last hymn from last Sunday was, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee." And it wasn't the lyrics of the song or the tune that hit me. Rather, my brain, like the computer, a pop-up window, a vision appeared in my eyes that I hadn't thought of for a while, and the vision was of the music room at my elementary school when, at fourth grade, you could begin taking music lessons and the violin was the only choice. Because I wanted to make music, I started taking violin lessons in fourth grade, and the music room was in the basement of the school, which, if you've heard fourth graders try to play the violin, that was probably a good idea. What's more intriguing, and a part of this pop-up window memory, was the music room was immediately adjacent to and completely open to, and I can't explain this, I couldn't then and now, a rifle range. And so music lessons occurred down there, and when it was over, you, if you were a fourth grade boy, you wanted to explore what this was, and more often than not, there was a pile of bullet shells that some people had swept up, just sort of right there, and of course a big old handful of those went into the fourth grade kid's pocket, because what could be better than that? And the song we were playing early in my career as a musician that didn't last long was, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee." Now, I understand, you know, the music fingering progression is fairly straightforward, so you can imagine that that would be a song you'd try to teach if you're teaching beginners to play. But the converging imagery is, to say the least, incongruous. You have a public school, you have Christian music, kids playing a violin, and a pile of bullet shells. Go figure. And yet, we have been taught that faith transcends circumstance. Even circumstance that might be incongruous or inexplicable, faith transcends. And we don't have to know how it happens, because faith involves things that we can't know or that we can't prove. So I've been thinking about how faith looks up, as in my faith looks up to thee. Faith looks up. Well, what does it see? What do we learn? Well, I think faith looks up to those who have finished the race. And of course, that's been on my mind this week with Charlie losing Winnell, and Janie Davis's birthday was yesterday, and you know, Charles' celebration of life was just a month or so ago. Faith looks up to those who have finished the race because of what we have learned from them. I have been deeply loved by people I've lost. And from time to time, I think of what I learned from them and what, in so doing, I am charged to do next. We are all sort of the legacy of those in our lives who have loved us and who have finished the race. They have passed us the baton with a set of values, a set of principles, a set of ideas, things that you didn't know until they taught you. And it becomes a way to honor their lives with your life carrying forward, honoring their legacy by living up to, perhaps, by embracing their never-failing forgiveness when you fail to live up to what they might have asked. But most importantly, remembering that you carry their spirit. I can't prove that. But I believe that faith looks up to the carrying of the spirit of those who have finished the race and given us the baton. And we honor their memory and their legacy by continuing in our own way and by honoring their memory with our lives. Faith looks up to those who finish the race and enable us to honor who they've been for us. I think faith looks up as well to those who are struggling to keep pace in the race, to carry the metaphor forward, struggling to keep pace a little bit. You know, maybe this is the value of Facebook. If you can wade through the competing political stuff that is inundating you right now, there are occasionally stories of inspiration and pictures of cats. Stories of inspiration of people who have prevailed under circumstances that, if we're fortunate, are not ours, or maybe similar enough to ours, that from which we can get some hope. Faith looks up to those who are struggling to keep pace, and we can hold on to and seize their courage and maybe take a little portion of it. There's this wonderful little event that happens, I think, pretty much every day over at the chemo unit at Covenant. And it's a fairly large place, and there are several rooms that are dispersed. But at the very center, there's a pretty large bell that's bolted to the wall. And it's a pretty loud bell. And anytime anyone in that whole complex finishes their chemo story, they get to ring that bell. And that bell rings loud. And often as not, when the others are in the middle of it, maybe just starting or halfway through, hearing that bell is a sound of hope. They made it. I can make it too. I can make it through this day, and someday I will ring that bell. That's faith looking up to those who are struggling to keep pace and who lead you through. Seize courage as well as honor with those around us. And finally, I think faith looks up every time we maybe look down in prayer. We have this prayer list for a reason, and we circulate through email from time to time prayer concerns for a very important reason. Not only that you lift up the names and, to the extent you know, stories of people involved, but that so you feel kinship with them, and, as important as anything else, so that they know they're on your mind. The kinship of prayer draws us together, and everyone in the community, regardless of their own life circumstances, shut-ins pray for those on the prayer list. And I've been here long enough to know for certain that everyone in this room, including me, has been on that prayer list. And people have prayed for all of us. We've said names out loud. We've held names in our hearts. Everyone in this room and everyone who's a part of this church that isn't here today has been on that list. And I also know, because I sometimes hear the stories, that we have all spoken in our hearts, or maybe aloud, the names of people we are holding up to God in prayer that may not be the fondest people we've ever known, or the people we are happiest to spend time with. Or maybe, in fact, we've prayed for people that we're glad when we don't run into them. Which is, of course, why Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Because you have to hold someone's identity as a child of God when you pray for them, or when you pray about them. And understanding their identity as a child of God transcends circumstance and creates the miracle of faith looking up together in kinship. Because you see, folks, faith is ultimately always about community. The faith that saves us reminds us that we're all in this together. And it all transcends circumstance. Jeannie and I went to this interfaith event that was in Lubbock a couple of days ago, And maybe you saw a picture of it on the paper, on the front page of the paper yesterday. And there were at that gathering people of faith, people of all faiths, people of competing faiths, and also people of no faith at all, but who may be holding a transcendent faith in humanity. Faith struggles with ultimate questions, you know, questions we do not know the answer to, but we believe and hope by faith they are edifying. Who is God? What happens when we die? How do we get that to be good for us? Questions that we have beliefs about but cannot prove. Well, in that group of 500 or so maybe yesterday, I would imagine there might be, if you asked each one, what is your image of God, you'd get a couple hundred answers. If you asked everyone, what's your theory of life after death, you might get 300 answers. And if you asked everyone there, how do you get to the afterlife, you might get 400 answers. But there were no such questions that were asked. Leaders of every faith, competing faiths, and even those of no faith, gave testimony. It was a fairly simple testimony. It didn't last very long in any case. People stood up and said, I want to tell you why I'm here, who I am, and why I think it's important. And they would name a faith tradition and talk about unity. And when a dozen or so people had done that, everybody had the opportunity to come forward and pose for a picture. And it had to be one of those panoramic pictures, because there were a lot of people there. People of every faith, of competing faith, and no faith at all, then, without direction and quite spontaneously, held hands for the picture. And we have proof that for at least a 60th of a second, you could almost hear the sound of a kid scratching a tune out on a violin. My faith looks up to thee. A kid on a violin in a basement playing music next to a pile of bullet shells and all that that might mean. My faith looks up to thee with honor of those who've gone before us, with courage for those who are struggling to keep pace, and most of all with kinship to the people next to us, to people who are next to us, whoever they are and whatever they look like. We know that they reflect back to us the image of the God who created us, every single one of us. Faith looks up. Faith most profoundly looks up when we know we look up together. Amen.